Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as things like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution to problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, concussion, and allergy shows, by going to Robinhood Radio's website. Then click the On Demand section. Then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you'll see the individual shows listed by topic, and you can click on one of those. Et voila, the magic of on-demand radio. We love that. Well, here we are in the depths of February, snow and cold. February's always a drag, and that means lots of shoveling, hauling wood, breaking up ice, spreading salt, forcing open frozen doors, and grabbing stair rails hard and fast while slip sliding down those icy stairs and ramps. And that all translates into a great deal of shoulder work and wear. So today, we're going to talk about shoulder pain. When we think about shoulder pain, we often jump right to the notion of the infamous, quote, rotator cuff tear. And that can sometimes be at the bottom of a painful shoulder, but I'm here to tell you that rotator cuff injuries are only a few among many possible causes of shoulder pain, and we'll talk about them in more detail as we go along here today. The shoulder has the greatest range of motion of any joint in the whole body. Think about how we use our arms and hands all day and what positions we get them into and out of. from reaching overhead and behind our backs to holding our arms out in front of us. Think about, for example, the complex motions of overhead carpentry, golf swings, casting a fishing line, hunting with a bow and arrow, climbing a tree, playing the piano, shrugging your shoulders, complex yoga positions, or even the more seasonally appropriate image of making snow angels. And all the incredible motions that are possible with our arms and shoulders because of that amazing range of motion and weight-bearing capacity of the shoulder as it interacts with our trunk. So let's spend some time on the structure of that shoulder and look into how it achieves these remarkable functions. The bony shoulder joint is the intersection of the rounded top of the upper arm bone, called the humerus, with the shallow, cup-shaped receptacle of the top of the scapula bone, yes, your shoulder blade, called the glenoid fossa. This very shallow cup allows the humerus to move freely in almost every direction because it is so shallow that it doesn't hinder the circumferential motion. But this means it is also not very stable. So the shoulder joint is further stabilized by a narrow cartilage sleeve wrapped around that cup-shaped glenoid fossa called the labrum, by the ligamentous attachments of the arm bone to the clavicle, your collarbone, and the scapula, and by the tendinous attachments of the muscles of the shoulder to their various bony attachments. Sounds complicated, and it is. The scapula, your shoulder blade, has a complex shape that allows it to glide along the upper back without having any bony attachments to the trunk at the back. In fact, the only bony attachment of the arm to the trunk is through the clavicle, your collarbone, which is an important aspect of the shoulder anatomy as well. The clavicle attaches to the frontward-pointing protuberance of the scapula, called the acromion at one end, and that clavicle attaches to the top of the sternum, called the manubrium, at the other end. Hence your AC, or acromioclavicular, and SC, or sternoclavicular joints. If you take your hand and trace along your collarbone at the front base of your neck and shoulder, you can feel these AC and SC attachments. That's pretty cool, right? Another interesting anatomy trivia point is that the animals that have two mobile clavicles all share a strong dependence on articulate use of their upper extremities or forelimbs and hands or paws, such as humans, apes, beavers, squirrels, kangaroos, etc. Birds depend on their upper extremity, i.e. their wings, but they have a fused set of relatively immobile clavicles called the furcula, i.e. the wishbone. Running quadrupeds like horses, dogs, and deer have no collarbones at all to interfere with the frontward reach of their forelimbs. Pretty fascinating, eh? All right. I can imagine you rolling your eyes, so we'll get back to the human shoulders. Just a bit more crucial human anatomy for you now, though. The motion of the shoulder is created by a complex group of muscles that includes, but is not restricted to, the rotator cuff muscles. They are called supraspinatus, along the upper outer third of the scapula, infraspinatus, along the lower outer two-thirds of the scapula, subscapularis, along the inner aspect of the scapula against your back, and teres minor, along the lower border of the shoulder blade. Other muscles influencing the movement of the shoulder include the pectoralis major and minor, your pecs on the front of your chest, latissimus dorsi, your lats that wrap around your back and actually have a slip that extends upwards and attaches to the upper arm bone at its upper end, many muscles that extend from the neck and head to the trunk, upper back, and shoulder, and that stabilize or move the shoulder blade itself, like the trapezius, your traps, and the upper arm muscles whose tendons glide over or across the shoulder joint bones, like your biceps muscle, that's your Popeye muscle on spinach, In fact, the muscles of your shoulder attach to every vertebra of your body, every rib, your sternum, your pelvic bones, and even your head. Yikes! That's a lot of anatomy that has to work smoothly, isn't it? Yes, it is, which is why there are so many different causes of shoulder pain. Let's look at some of the common causes today. Shoulder pain and immobility can be caused by rotator cuff muscle strains, spasms or tears, bursitis, tendonitis, chronic muscle tension in the arm, upper back or chest, osteoarthritis, frank dislocation or fracture, or more rarely by referred pain from heart or gallbladder issues. That's a long list. Let's get the referred pain handled first. Even though it's unusual, it is a sign of a potentially serious or even life-threatening health problem. Referred pain means pain that's felt in one area, but is caused by another part of the body because of how the nerve signals overlap for those areas. As many people know, if you experience chest pain that travels into your left shoulder or arm, this could be the sign of a heart attack, and you should get immediate medical attention, especially if it's accompanied by nausea, dizziness, sweating, a heavy sense of chest pressure, or lightheadedness. But these are not always present. You can also have referred pain from the gallbladder that is experienced as shoulder pain in the back of the right shoulder or between your shoulder blades. And you should seek medical attention in this case also, especially if you also have nausea and or get the right shoulder pain after eating. Referred organ pain does not generally change with movement, like musculoskeletal pain usually does. But this difference is not always consistent, so if in doubt, check it out. So now let's get back to that infamous rotator cuff issue. As discussed earlier, there are four muscles in the so-called rotator cuff, and one or more of them can be strained, inflamed, chronically tense, or in frank spasm, actually torn, or be at the root of an associated tendinitis, meaning inflammation of one or more of these muscles' tendons that attaches them to their bones. Treatment will depend on the specifics of the injury or problem. A frank tear may or may not need surgical repair, depending on the location and extent of the tear. Tendinitis and other inflammations will need ice and rest. A spasm will need heat and rest. But these are not the only four muscles involved in the shoulder, and there are many muscles that can be injured and lead to shoulder pain and/or immobility. Any muscle associated with the shoulder, rotator cuff or not, can suffer similar injuries, strains, spasm, tears, tension, inflammation, or tendinitis. Problems with the bony parts of the shoulder and their ligamentous attachments can also cause pain and/or immobility. There could be a frank fracture or dislocation, or marked restriction or tearing at the attachments of the clavicle, underlying upper ribs or sternum, scapula, that shoulder blade, or humerus, the arm bone. Arthritis in all of its forms can lead to shoulder pain. There may be pain or impingement at the extremes of the arm's range of motion, or with particular directions or degrees of motion, depending on the specific problem. So how in the world do I know what to do with shoulder pain with all these possibilities? You will want a physician who is very deeply trained in working with musculoskeletal problems to evaluate your shoulder in detail in order to determine how best to handle your individual shoulder problem. They will take a detailed history of how you arrived at your current condition, examine exactly how your arm and shoulder move or don't move, and in which locations and under what pressure you experience your pain and discomfort in order to determine which specific tissues are inflamed or injured and to what extent they may be damaged. You may or may not need an X-ray or MRI to confirm the details of the diagnosis. A detailed diagnosis can frequently be made without any imaging, depending on exactly what the problem is. There are so many possibilities for the cause of your shoulder pain that the details of your shoulder problem will determine the approach and duration of your treatment. If you've had any kind of fall or injury, and fracture or dislocation are a possibility, then you definitely win a trip to the ER and imaging will be required. If you've had a more minor injury or are suffering from an intermittent or chronic problem, then until you can see an appropriately skilled physician, let pain be your guide. If it hurts, don't do it. And you can alternate heat and ice for immediate pain relief. An arm sling may be helpful, but beware of long-term use in a non-fractured injury to avoid developing frozen shoulder from non-use of the shoulder joint. In general, as with any musculoskeletal injury, start with RICE, R-I-C-E, but leave out the C for the shoulder, R for rest, I for ice, and E for elevation. Compression is rarely needed at the shoulder. Use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medicines for temporary pain relief. Drugs like aspirin or ibuprofen may help to reduce pain and swelling. And after an appropriate diagnosis, the treatment options should be carefully considered and discussed. Osteopathic treatment is an excellent, sustainable approach to help with shoulder problems, to alleviate pain and inflammation, to restore full range of motion, and to heal and prevent the problems, because it addresses the root structural and anatomical causes that led to the development of the shoulder pain in the first place. A good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for shoulder pain. How can the gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician help with this? An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and in detail with the intricate and extraordinary structure of your shoulders, upper back, and chest, working with the bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and fascias to relieve inflammation and pain, improve range of motion of bones and muscles, optimize circulation and lymphatic drainage, and help your body restore your shoulder joint and all the associated tissues to optimal structure and function, thereby not only helping to relieve the pain, but also help to prevent it. In addition to regular osteopathic treatment for your shoulders, neck, and back, here are some important tips for maintaining good upper extremity health and avoiding shoulder pain. Always gently stretch your shoulders, neck, and upper back before and after exercise or other strenuous physical activity. Use proper technique and equipment that is the appropriate size and weight for you, regardless of the activity. Make sure that your sports, construction, maintenance, and repair activities are not straining or forcing your shoulder motions, and follow good body mechanics. Stay well hydrated to keep tissues flexible and healthy. And one of the best ways to avoid shoulder problems is to strengthen your upper back, chest, and forearm muscles without straining them. Gradually increase weights, reps, range of motion exercises, and duration of stretches. Make sure to get guidance from a trained physical therapist or fitness coach if you already had a shoulder injury or issue. So to review, shoulder pain can come on at any stage of life. There are less common and more medically serious causes of shoulder pain, including the alarming referred pain we mentioned earlier that can accompany cardiac or gallbladder problems, as well as a daunting number of possible causes of shoulder pain in this complex joint. So shoulder pain should always be examined by a physician who was well-trained in musculoskeletal health. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can relieve the initial pain and symptoms and make a real difference in helping to optimize structure and function in the shoulders, upper back and chest, and arms, and therefore in resolving and preventing these pain issues with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of information, and it's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sunday at 5:30. Take care of yourself, stay warm, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.